Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, are you on I-24 again today? Did you survive the last time you were on I-24? What's all going on out there?
The devil went down I-24 looking for a car to steal and just create havoc every single day. So, yes, my favorite place in the whole world, hashtag all capitalized, sarcasm, I-24. But you know what, though, Robbie? The silver lining is going to a really cool event.
Yep.
You know, Folds of Honor. We're all going to get out there and whack away. This is going to be my first time playing golf ever on a torn ACL. My game sucked with a good knee. Now we'll see how bad it is with a bad knee. But again, that's not the point of all this. The point of this is to raise good money for a great cause and have good times. I'm looking forward to seeing some of the people who have agreed to be a part of this. I know Casey Alexander, Belmont's basketball coach, is a good golfer, so he'll have a great day. Our buddy Pat Sperduto will be out there. I've known Pat since he was the head coach of the Nashville Cats, and I've never seen him swing a golf club. So I'm very curious to see if he looks like Charles Barkley, or he tells me he's been working on his game. I don't know what that means, but I'm looking forward to seeing it. Steve Mandel with Six Wire and Small Time Rock Stars. He is a rock star. I don't know about his golf game, but he's a good dude and a really, really good musician. So those are just to name a few. It's going to be a great time, and I know you guys are going to be out there as well.
If anybody's to the right of me today when I'm hitting, watch out. Put a helmet on, because there's a decent chance you're going to get hit.
Slice City?
Yeah, Slice City, baby. That's what we do.
That sounds like me and you should not be put together then.
Probably.
That would be a disaster.
Probably not. So, Darren, obviously there's been a ton of discussion about this Predators team and the direction of the franchise and the Philip Forsberg contract situation. Everything that we've talked about, I joined your show last week, and I know you guys had a spirited debate about the plan as well. By the way, Willie, is there a plan? I enjoyed that throughout the week as well. What have you made of the reaction from the Predators fan base ever since they were eliminated a week ago today by Colorado?
Just so you know, I just enjoy – look, Willie and I have thousands and thousands and thousands of hours together on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
So we're like brothers who fight, you know, and I like to push his buttons. You know, I'm a little bit more rough around the edges, so to speak. Maybe glass at times half empty. He's the opposite. So I think it makes for good radio, and sometimes I like to push him. And I like when we get angry, Willie. It doesn't happen much, but when we do, I seize that moment, and you bet I'm going to push that moment to keep going forward with him being angry, Philly. And he got quite angry. And so, look, I agree with everything he was saying. I just wanted him to do it because I enjoy that part of him. We don't see that side very often. And, you know, if I can push those buttons a little bit more and get angry Willie all week like we did, I'm going to do it. But you know what? I agree with him. Like, I don't understand people that don't understand or don't, you know, what's the plan? Well, you haven't been watching. If you didn't see what the – I mean, to think that this hasn't changed and evolved, it has. I mean, they were one of the oldest teams in the league, and now they're one of the youngest teams in the league. So that's changing and evolving. That's changing up your roster. John Hines, you know, for the outrage on John Hines, I just don't understand it. You can be disappointed and outraged that they're not having – playoff success. That's more than fair. More than fair, because we should expect that. I understand that. We had some great calls last week. You know, season ticket holders that say, hey, you raised my prices, you made it more difficult for me and my family or my friends or my coworkers or whatever to go to games, I expect more. That is fair. That's more than fair. But to say that John Hines did a horrible job, I shake my head and I don't understand. How could you say that when you had guys having career years? The team's been around for almost 25 years and have never had a 40-goal score, and they had two. And I get it. Forsberg's going into a big final year. I get it. He's going to be a UFA. I understand that. It doesn't mean that he's going to do it. We think every guy that's contract is up has a career year. Does it happen? Yes. But it doesn't happen all the time. And he had 42 goals this season. Duchesne left unprotected. All we've done is talk 2 years about Matt Duchesne and his lack of production, and he was arguably their best player this season offensively. It wasn't arguably. He was. Roman Josi was their best player, but he was their best player offensively. And then we don't need to talk about Roman Josi and UC Saros. Those guys had tremendous years. It didn't end well. It was bad in the Colorado series. It didn't end well in the regular season. But quite honestly, Robbie and Joe, I don't understand. You know, John Hines was terrible. By the way, go look at the players on social media, what they're saying about this season. They're saying it was the best season they've ever had, the most fun they've ever had, how much they enjoyed it. You know, that counts for something. That may not satisfy some of the fan base, but that should tell you about the culture that people get tired of hearing about, but that should tell you a little bit about their culture.
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, I mean, I think all the Hines stuff, I mean, it's totally fair to look at any team that isn't winning at all, I guess. You know, you can look at every aspect, and that includes coaching. But I think it's a big waste of time to focus on Hines. I don't understand what that is. Now, on the other side of it, you know, because I think that he's basically done about as well as you could have expected. We had Corey Curtis on earlier, and I totally agree, too. Like, the trajectory when he came in versus what has unfolded since then has been pretty impressive to me. And I hear you on the plan, Darren, but I agree. Like, yes, of course there's a plan, and there's a lot of evidence that they're carrying it out. But the question is, can it work? Can it get them where they want to go? And then especially if Forsberg doesn't work out. I mean, let's say that's the case. You know, let's say that Forsberg walks. I mean, does the plan have to change?
Well, that is a great question, and I was going to try to put a number attached to it, but we don't know what the number is going to be. I was going to say that's going to be the $72 million question. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to sign for. It's a really good question that I don't think they're prepared to answer right now, and I know that they're about to talk this week, and I know they're going to get hit with a lot of questions that are going to be uncomfortable to try to answer, and they may not have answers to, but they're going to have to put their best face on and try to answer them. But I just honestly think, Joe, that Philip Forsberg has got to be a part of that moving forward, right? Because if he's not, then I don't know how you could say onward and upward, right? You just a guy that's meant so much to them and had the year that he's had, and he's had other years. It's not like this is the only year. They haven't been 42-goal years, but, I mean, to me, to answer your question, yeah, I guess you have to get back in a room and change, because I don't know how you could say, well, we'll just plug and play and everything will look the same or better without Philip Forsberg. That's hard to believe. I also understand them from a business side. You have to be fiscally responsible, and I have never, you know, I will never, ever agree with people that say, just pay him whatever he wants. Like, no, that's a horrible idea, and I'm glad you're not the GM, because you'd be looking for a new job really fast. Like, no, you can't just give them whatever they want. That's not how it works. So I understand what's going on behind the scenes, but I think, Joe, honestly, that to me, if you are talking about tweaking and changing things up, you think you have a core that can keep moving forward and some of these young guys can keep getting better, it has to include number 9 in the mix moving forward. Or if that doesn't happen, yeah, I think you could easily see them in a room saying, okay, now what? because I don't think you can sell to everyone, hey, watch, it'll get better now. I think that'll be a hard one to believe for a lot of people.
Darren, you've got St. Louis and Colorado in the second round. You've got Calgary and Edmonton. You've got Florida and Tampa Bay. And for some reason, I'm blanking on the other series.
Rangers-Canes,
of course. What of those series intrigues you the most heading into the second round?
Well, I think Avs-Blues is very intriguing because the Avs look like a juggernaut, and I'm really impressed with the Blues. I actually picked them to beat the Wild and was starting to question that early on in the series, like, oh, did I make a mistake? I think that's a really intriguing matchup. Can the Blues pull off the upset? They can, but I also kind of have looked at this Avs team after the Predators series and said, wow, they kind of stack up to some of the other teams that have had playoff failures and have eventually punched their ticket, punched their way through, and they kind of look like a team on a mission because they're going to lose guys this offseason, and they're not going to look the same either. I think they know that, and this may very well be their year. So I probably don't see the Blues winning, with that being said, but I'm certainly intrigued by that series for sure.
Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Darren, great stuff. Hit him straight. We'll see you out there later today.
I will certainly try. Guys, look forward to seeing you later today.
Absolutely. Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of those next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Nate on the text line says, my main problem with the so-called plan is that the Preds say they want to get younger and stay competitive. Then they trade a pick that could be used to continue to get younger at the deadline for someone that's usually a soon-to-be RFA or UFA. To me, that goes against the plan because you can't just pick up one guy and be competitive in the playoffs. They're waffling, and it won't stop until they're fully committed one way. That's coming from Nate on the text line.
Yeah, we talked about that move, and I agree. I mean, that move is sort of contrary to the overall plan. I mean, it's now I will say that in a given season – you know, you can still have sort of an overall plan of you're trying to get younger. And then in a given season, I mean, we were talking on the show about maybe getting another forward, right?
Yeah.
Like, you are in a particular season. I think it's okay to think about, look at where you are and react accordingly. And at times, if you're going to be a buyer, you know, just be a buyer and be a smart buyer and get a good player who can help you in the short term, and if you have to give up some assets for that, you know, it's not like you have to be all one thing. Problem is, second round pick for freaking Jeremy Lozon is my problem. It's the choices.
Yeah, it's the player. Like, well, and even to that point, like the age, Lozon's 25, so it's not like they went out and got an old guy. He's 25. He's contractually under their control, so you can make an argument that's still a part of the plan of getting younger and having a younger guy in there. I just don't like giving up that price for a guy that's a third-pairing defenseman. Like, you know, I guess there's the hope that maybe he develops into a top-four guy, but I just don't see it with him. Like, to me, he's a third-pairing NHL defenseman, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm not giving up a second-round pick for that. That's just me.
If he's a long-term, reliable third-pairing defenseman who stabilizes that, gives you some
it's probably worth it,
minutes on the penalty kill. Still sounds – I mean, second-round pick can just be – can be special.
They can. It's a little – I mean, everybody – I think you hear second-round pick and you think like NFL second-round pick, and it's just not the same. It's not the same in hockey as it is in other sports. But, I mean, Roman Josi was a second-round pick. Shea Weber was a second-round pick. You can find some good second-round picks out there. Like, there's any question about that. Raymond and Franklin on the text line says, out of the remaining series – The one that Darren chooses is intriguing. Avs are going to walk all over them. The Battle of Alberta is going to be crazy. The Rangers and Canes will be out, way more interesting than the St. Louis series. I disagree. I think it's going to be a good series between Colorado and St. Louis. I know the Colorado just wiped the floor with the Predators. They are not going to wipe the floor with St. Louis.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be good. Eric Engels actually got me less excited for Edmonton-Calgary.
He did.
Calgary. Sounds like he doesn't buy.
I kind of agree with him.
It was an interesting – but he also said, if they somehow beat Calgary, watch out, which is – I mean, shoot, at that point they're in the conference final anyway, so
yeah,
that's already a run. But I'm hopeful for that one. Rangers can't – I mean, I love both of the Eastern series. Yeah. I think they're both really interesting.
I do too. John in Thompson Station, if the Preds pursue an RFA like Fiala, what would the price tag be? A number one draft pick and a top prospect, or any prospects untouchable besides Askarov? Well, let me first start by saying – I don't think they're going after Fiala. Like I'd been offer sheets in the NHL. They just don't really happen. They've happened a few times since I've started covering the NHL. Shea Weber, obviously, is the one around here that people are most familiar with.
Got a lot of money out of that.
You know, I think Aho got offered by Montreal, and then Carolina matched it. There's one other one that I can't think of right now. Anyway.
It's not
very common. That doesn't mean it can't happen. And if you're the Predators, you got cap space to pull something off like that. I've heard Willie talking about, you know, maybe you need to get creative this offseason and go get another piece. Well, that would certainly be one way to get creative, is to do offer sheet. Problem is, I think the compensation kind of is based on, you know, what the compensation is for the player as well. So if it's Fiala, I don't know what he's going to make. I mean, he had a monster year. So my guess is, you know, he's still a young guy. He's a restricted free agent. If you want to sign him to a long-term deal, he's probably going to be in the neighborhood of $7 or $8 million a year. So you start getting into a first, a second, and a third as your compensation for that, in addition to paying the contract. Like that's why people don't do offer sheets very often.
Yeah,
it's a heavy price to pay.
Were you thinking of Ryan O'Reilly, by the way? That was a big one.
Yeah, I think so.
Going way back.
Yeah,
Flames signed him, and that was matched by the Avs. Yeah, I don't think the Fiala thing's happened. It's interesting because he had a huge year, big part of their success this year, but then he did not get anything done in the playoffs. So there's a lot of up there, a lot of that. Move on. Of course, they're forced to move on. I mean, it was kind of known with them. This was a year, and now, you know, see what you can do. This has got to be the year you make a run, and then now things just have to be broken up to some extent.
Well, and they've got goaltending to figure out. You know, Fleury's there. Talbot's there, too. And Talbot played well after Fleury got acquired and then just totally was.
And he's mad.
Yeah, he should be. He's pretty upset. I don't think there's any question about that. So I'd be surprised if Fiala's back, but we'll see what happens on that front. What do you make of the Forsberg situation? We talked about this earlier and played comments from Elliot Friedman last week about the AAV, annual average value, maybe not being there for Forsberg and the Preds at this point. What do you think of his situation, and what are your thoughts on that? Because I kind of agree with Darren. If Forsberg is not a part of it, you got to change the plan. Like, you're just back and you're trending way more towards full rebuild at that point if Forsberg's not part of it.
Yeah, unless – but I guess it's like he said, getting a room. So then if in that room it's like, okay.
Johnny Gaudreau.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, well, then guess what? Now, remember – you know, when you think about this, it's like, oh, that opens up so much cap space. Well, yeah. It's $6 million that they're paying him right now.
Right.
They were gonna. So basically, I guess you could look at it like it's about $8-9 million more than you would have had. You already have a lot. So you could. The plan could be, well, it's the same plan. It's just going to be more of the frontline players bought this summer and then proceed. Or is it okay? You know, like it's just, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I'm talking myself in circles right now on it. Like, do you say, look, guys, we have to go sign A, B, and C. And if we do that, then we can still be a really good team next year. Or do you say, nah, we're not going to be able to sign A, B, and C. Or maybe we'll get one of the three. So, like, we are more rebuilding now than we are competing.
Well, I mean, the cap space thing is interesting. I mean, right now, this is according to Cap Friendly, and it's not right on the money, but it's generally pretty close. Right now, they're projected to have $25 million in cap space. So cap space is not a problem. Like, they've got plenty. They got plenty of space, and they're going to have to. You know, you're going to figure out what to do with Luke Kunin. You know, we'll see what happens. Do they bring back a Nick Cousins? Do they bring back a Matt Benning? None of those guys are really going to change the cap structure all that much. But we had a texter asked earlier, like, could you get Forsberg and Gaudreau? Like, could you load up that way and have Forsberg and Gaudreau? I mean, the answer is yeah, you could. But, I mean, Forsberg, let's say he signs for $9 million. Well, all of a sudden you're going for $25 million. You're at 16 right there. And then Gaudreau is going to make, I think, 10, 10 and a half, 11. All of a sudden, that cap space gets cut down pretty quick. You still have other moves to make.
You also, yeah, but you might be pretty good.
You might be pretty good.
You know? I mean, but
they can consider it.
I mean, if you did that, yeah, you'd have to. I mean, well, it's interesting because you'd actually have to probably be younger and cheaper elsewhere, right? Maybe a little earlier than you'd want in some spots.
Yeah.
But is it worth. Again, we're talking about this fantasy scenario in which they could actually sign both.
Forsberg and Gaudreau.
As far as I know, they can't sign either. I mean, it's probably more likely they would have neither. Well, it is more likely.
It's
more likely they'd have neither than that they'd have both. But imagine that, having both.
Yeah.
How good could you be with that and a cut-rate lineup in some spots? I mean, I guess it's the answer is like, okay, well then, how does Johansson play next year? How does Duchesne play next year?
Yeah.
It could be pretty. I mean, you could solve this second line thing.
Savage Steve on Twitter says, if Fiala is a target, could we ship Kunin back to them as a cost-controlled asset? Do they know him well enough? They certainly know him. I don't know if they'd have much interest in that. I think the Luke Kunin Minnesota days probably.
I think they're content with having moved on from him at this point.
I would think so. Look, I'm interested to see what the Predators do there. He's an RFA. I think they'll bring him back. I'm interested to see what that price looks like, because I wouldn't pay him any more than he's making right now.
No, there's no, absolutely not. But it's obvious that John Hines likes him.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens on that front. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dave texting in says, does Ryan Johansson have any trade value? Does Ryan Johansson have any trade value? That is an interesting question. Because, I mean, if we asked that question this time a year ago, the answer is unequivocally no. And the same thing with Matt Duchesne. Both of them have really good years, maybe viewed a little differently around the league. I think Duchesne certainly could. I don't know about Johansson. Like, he still, I mean, he had a good year, don't get me wrong. But, like, at that price tag with the salary cap situation in the league, you know, he put up, what do you have, 63 points this year? I don't have it right in front of me, but I think that's roughly what he had.
If you got that right, I'm impressed. It was 60 plus for sure.
Yeah, is that good enough around the league to pay him $8 million to be your guy? It was 63 points, by the way.
Wow, nice job.
Thanks. I don't know. Like, I think it's certainly – it's not a non-starter like it was last year. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah.
I guess I'd be surprised if there were a lot of teams lining up for – that contract.
And there is one less year
on
his deal than Duchesne's, if you want to compare the two in terms of tradability. But you still have, I mean, you still have three more years on his deal at eight per. Like, if it was one or two more years, then I think it'd be a lot more palatable if you're the team that feels like, okay, you know, this could be the last piece, you know, our number two centerman, and we got the room. It's worth it, but that's quite a commitment to go through 2024-25 with him. Duchesne, another year beyond his deal. He's also older.
Yep.
But, I mean,
just score 43 goals.
That helps.
Yeah.
And again, he's a guy. Well, look, they both had good careers, and they've had ups and downs.
Yep. But
they're both. I don't know. Like you said, it's at least something where like Poyle wouldn't be laughed at on the phone.
Well, I agree. I also think like in Johansson's case, he's only 29. Now he'll be 30 in August. But if you're the Predators, do you almost view it as, okay, well, this is how we need him to play, mm-hmm. and he did that this year. So what does that mean for the team as you move forward? Like, if they traded Johansson, what are you getting? Like, there's not a team giving up something for Johansson where you're getting something back for him that comes in and helps you right now.
Yeah, you're not getting a replacement at the same – like you're changing your lineup.
Now, if Forsberg's gone, though, maybe that's an option that you pursue at that point because –
Now you're in rebuild.
Now there's also a cap floor that you have to get to as well. So you can't just trade everyone away. There is a certain amount of money that you have to be spending on your roster. Ask the Arizona Coyotes. But if Forsberg walks, then maybe you start to have some of those conversations of, okay, well, if we're going to rebuild, let's rebuild. Maybe that's what it takes to get that done.
Yeah. I mean, who else among the veterans on this team – because, again, you didn't get – at this point, you didn't get a great return for Ryan Ellis. We'll see with Cody Glass. I mean, he's – I don't think it's time to completely abandon thought that he might be some kind of help to the lineup. But you didn't get a great return. That was a salary dump. But what veterans could actually bring a return for you? Because now you're not in a position of just trying to clear money. You've cleared the money.
Roman Josi.
There you go.
He could bring a lot back.
I mean, if you want to blow it up.
I mean, I'm joking about that, but it is interesting. Like, I have thought about this. Like, if Forsberg walks away and your franchise is heading in a different direction this summer, like, how does he feel about that? He's 31 years old. He just put up 96 points. He's in the prime of his career right now. He wants to win. Like, how does he feel about going through a potential rebuild if that happens?
Well, look at Ekholm, who just signed.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that. Look, Josi, to me, would probably approve some trades to certain places.
Yeah.
If it got to that, if it got to the point where it's like, okay, basically the rest of your prime years, however long they are, you know, they're going to be spent with a rebuilding team. I mean, he's got a lot of years left all the way through 2028. So,
Justin on Twitter says, does Johansson put up more points with better wingers? I think the answer this year is absolutely yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you find him, you know, he got a lot of points on the power play, but if you find him, you know, consistent, reliable scoring wingers, I think he gets into the 70s this year, maybe low 80s in points. I mean, look, he was playing with two anchors out there, and that's no disrespect to Tolvanen and Cunnan, but they just weren't productive. So I don't know what he's supposed to do 5-on-5 point production wise. Especially with what he does best. And what he does best is still his vision and how he distributes the puck. I thought he distributed the puck fine and just didn't have any finishers with him this year. So, yeah, I think he absolutely ends up with more points this year with better wingers.
Yeah, and so if you're talking about his marketability out there, you know, obviously teams do their homework. He was good. I mean, we've talked for a couple of years, Ryan Johansson playoffs versus regular season, all that. I mean, he largely figured it out, I think, and gave you consistent, solid play.
He did.
$8 million a year worth? I don't know, but he could be. Again, it just depends on the team and the situation. I could see a team looking at him and saying, wow, that'd be really nice. Sometimes you overpay a little bit.
Yep. Joe, some breaking news in the NFL.
Uh-oh.
Jair Alexander and the Green Bay Packers agreeing to a 4-year, $84 million contract extension, according to Adam Schefter. The deal includes $31 million in 2022, so he's going to pay $31 million this year, and a record of $30 million in signing bonus as well. So he's going to receive $42.5 million by March. It's a pretty good year for Jair Alexander. $21 million a year for a defensive back. That's a new standard setter in the NFL.
So you're excited about this?
Yeah, he's a really good player.
Yeah, he's good. The money's going up.
Well, it's interesting.
The money's going up everywhere except at running back.
It is. It's interesting. And look, I'm not saying that Christian Fulton is Jair Alexander because he's not. He's really good last year. And I did think to myself when they took McCreary, I mean, there's a lot of things that went through my mind. Obviously, most people looked at Caleb Farley, and maybe he's like an insurance pick there. I do kind of wonder, though, like if McCreary's good and Caleb Farley is healthy this year and he's good – do you eventually get to the point with Fulton where you're like, man, we'll have contract negotiations with you, but I'm not paying you a super amount of money. We'll just go with young guys. Like, I don't know.
So many ways I could go. But,
I know.
But, yeah, you like to have those – you like to have that flexibility, you know, as much good, young, cheap depth as possible. Schefter says Alexander's base is $1.076 million. Get that cap number as low as possible this season and then load it up.
This cap number in 2 years is going to be like $50 million. That'll be fun. Looking forward to that.
Just focus on the now.
Oh,
you
man.
You can figure that out later.
What do we think?
The cap is?
It's going up.
Flexible.
It's flexible.
It is.
Is it real?
Manipulate. It's real, but... But it is, you can manipulate it.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, out of all the series left in the NBA playoffs and the Stanley Cup playoffs, which series intrigues you the most? You've got Boston and Miami in the East in the NBA. You've got the Mavericks and the Warriors in the West in the NBA. And then some awesome matchups in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Tampa Bay taking on Florida. Carolina taking on New York. St. Louis, Colorado. Calgary and Edmonton in the Battle of Alberta. I really am forgetting a lot of things today, but I think I nailed it there.
Yeah, you got it all. Calgary.
Which one of those intrigues you the most?
It's Mavs Warriors. I mean, let me just be honest. It's Mavs Warriors.
Well, that's why I asked you to be honest. Fan.
What's that?
Just because you're the biggest Warriors fan out there.
That's right.
Plus, you want to win that called shot.
That's right. I did call that shot a long time ago. It's getting closer. But I just I can't wait to see what Golden State does with Luka. And he's out there just like – he's just out there like, okay, let's give me a ball screen. I'm going to go with this guy now. Let me just take the soul out of this guy now. Now let me take this guy. I mean, he is he's ridiculous. And the way that Brunson's playing now, too, I mean, I think that's going to be a really good series. So I'd go number one there. Number two, honestly, I might go Tampa Bay, Florida.
It's going to be awesome.
Like, I'm with D-Mac on Blues, Avs, and I think it's going to be good. But the Florida series is it's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe this is the team to finally unseat the Lightning.
Could be. That's my number one, Tampa, Florida.
Okay.
Now, selfishly, Boston, Miami, number two. So I guess, you know, South Florida sports, I'm really all in on next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Florida Panthers and the Miami Heat. But it's going to be interesting. We talked about the Grizz part of this earlier in the show. I mean, obviously, they got eliminated over the weekend. If you're a Grizz fan right now, I was thinking through this, and you brought it up. Ja's going to get paid, so that's going to change the picture a little bit. But in terms of just outlook in the NBA for the next 5 years, it's a pretty short list of teams that you can put ahead of Memphis. We were talking about Desmond Bane, all these different guys they have. The oldest guy on their team is 28 years old. They got two guys at 28 right now. Those are the grizzled veterans on the Grizzlies, is Steven Adams and Anderson, who's 28 years old. Other than that, everybody's in their mid to early 20s. It's a pretty good spot to be in.
Yeah, it is. They're going to be right there. I mean, they're going to be right there. You know, I still think if you want to talk about projecting forward, who's going to be like Golden State right now. I mean, they're trying to get one more title. What they're trying to do, and you know, this in theory could be Golden State's last chance. You know, Phoenix is still really good, but again, Chris Paul is close. He said last night he's not retiring, but that's the thing. He's getting that question now. The Nuggets are a team I look at if they get everybody back, they had a terrible injury situation this year. That's a really dangerous team. You know, on the other side, I think any team that has Giannis is going to be a threat. You know, I know that Giannis, people are talking about like Giannis's legacy. He had a bad game yesterday.
He's
got a title. Yeah. He's not done. He's going to be just fine. The Celtics are, I mean, really, the two teams playing in the East, I mean, they're both going to be there, right? I mean, what is Jimmy Butler's age? Is he 30?
I think he's a little older than that.
Okay. Well, then I'm a little off then.
76ers?
He's 32.
32. Okay. You know, but that, well, I like their team. Yeah, see, the Sixers.
I don't trust them.
Yeah.
And if they pay James Harden money, it's so stupid. If they give James Harden a supermax contract, good Lord.
I will say, though, with Embiid, I mean, he's so good that, like, whatever team he's on.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be good.
Yeah.
They're talking about paying James Harden the supermax contract, and
I would
not
run
anymore, man.
Away.
Yes.
I mean, the guy, yeah, run away from that. The Celtics, also, by the way, speaking of young, good players, VFL, someone on the text line made sure to say, how about what up, VFL,
yes.
Grant Williams.
Oh, yes.
Grant Williams was awesome yesterday. 7 threes, 25 points off the bench, massive. I mean, and defensively, he's been such a big deal for them. It's great to see Grant Williams, which I would call Vols legend Grant Williams, and then you don't have to say VFL, but hey. Do whatever you want to do. That was Derek Dooley started that program, just to be sure. I made sure to look that up and verify. That's a Derek Dooley legacy.
I know you didn't see this yesterday because your Twitter settings have now been adjusted. What did you think of this tweet from Stillman? Quote, Grant Williams is only 5 million times better than he was in college. It's coming from Jared on Twitter. 5 million times better. That had a lot of all fans very upset. They're like, he's a back-to-back SEC player of the year. In college. What do you think of that one?
I don't even. Like, what's he trying to say?
I don't know.
I'm going to see Jared today at the golf. So I'll just thank you for bringing that to my attention. I like whatever he said. You know, he had the Memphis Grizzlies tweet, right?
Yeah.
You know, like their one-man
team. One-man
team. Teams, yeah, all this stuff. And he was like, well, they're all mad at me. Like, they're not mad at you. They're laughing at you. There's a difference between people who are mad, like, I had a strong take and they're mad at me. No, they're laughing at you. Doesn't make sense. But Ja Morant is their best player.
Yes.
I will agree with
that.
Yeah, and I would hope that Grant Williams would be better at basketball, like,
in
which
the NBA.
It's his job. But he was an incredible college player. Did I miss something?
I'm just telling you what he said.
He broke my heart as a Kentucky fan, so.
That's right. You WFLs know well.
Yes.
We know.
What Grant Williams can do to you.
Oh, man.
CFLs.
I was going to save this for maybe a rant later in the week, but I'll just do it now.
Don't. Save those rants, man.
What is this Drew Brees situation? What is this?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Mm. Like, everybody's talking, like, they're asking the question, like, is Drew Brees coming back to play football today on all over, like, it's been on ESPN. It's all over the place on Twitter. You know, you talked last week about you didn't think Drew Brees was very good at the at broadcasting.
He's not very good.
All of a sudden, maybe NBC feels the same way. Now, there's a report that he was one and done at NBC, and that I guess the decision was mutual. And then Brees comes out yesterday and says, quote, despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all the above. I'll let you know. That was the tweet from Drew Brees yesterday. And, of course, the may play football again part of that is running wild. That, to me, was a guy just giving countless examples of different things that
he's
thinking
through.
He's like,
I might do whatever
I
want to
do.
So shut up, media.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I saw Elijah had some reaction like, what? In all caps, like Elijah, Saints fan Elijah, for the record.
Yeah.
So maybe calm down. It's probably not going to happen.
And he couldn't throw the football 15 yards downfield 2 years ago. Has that gotten better now?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
I mean, I guess like he was banged up, right?
I guess.
Be healthy now, but yeah. Joel on Twitter says we should also be giving the Mavs credit, and I agree. You know, project the West. I mean,
same
sort of thing. Luka alone. Well, look at him right now. And Brunson is terrific. So, I mean, I agree. They could be an absolute force moving forward as well. I think the Nuggets, you know, you get Murray back and Port, I mean, they are a formidable team when healthy and whole, I think.
Yeah. Got the golf tournament coming up today, the Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament. We'll see how it goes. I went to the driving range yesterday. I hit them pretty well.
Okay.
Which I think could work one of two ways. It could either be a good sign of things to come today, or I got all my good shots out of the way and I could just be absolutely awful today. Could be atrocious. Now, let me just start by saying this. I'm going to be awful either way. Like, I would describe my golf game. I played a lot over the last year. I would say I have gone from totally sucks to only mostly sucks. That is how I would describe my improvement.
That's good.
Yeah.
I would take mostly sucks. I'm not playing today because I stink and I would just slow everything down. So,
same here.
So you and I will be helping out. We'll be
I'm
helping
lay
out
in the sun in a chair. We're sitting at a hole, Joe.
Okay, we're sitting in a hole. We're verifying holes in one that may happen.
True, there'll be several today.
Yeah, it'll be left and
about
right.
About four by you, Robbie.
Left and right holes in ones.
And Chase McCabe wasn't going to play also, but now he's bringing his clubs.
I guess so.
So
that excites me. There needs to be video if that happens.
Just to let everybody know at the tournament, the suit is bringing his clubs, so...
He's like, put me in coach.
Somewhere in his mind, he's okay with getting out.
Now, let me ask you this, because you and I both have, we have seen Chase McCabe attempt to hit a baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not gone well. Let's put it that way.
Swing a sledgehammer.
Yeah, it is. It's quite something.
Do something with a sledgehammer.
Do we think on a teed golf ball that Chase would make contact first swing?
If I was betting, I would bet no.
We love you, Chase, but same.
So, and again, you're talking like
it's just right there on the tee for him.
You're talking first attempt.
First attempt.
Not like he was at the range for the last 20 minutes
No.
He's going to the tee.
First attempt.
Yeah, I'm loving no. Yeah.
Joe's locking that down.
I'm loving the under, like 0.5 times hitting the ball. I'll take the under.
By the way, we tweeted out a link, our golf tournament today, benefiting Folds of Honor, a great organization. You can donate to that and help with the Folds of Honor donation. We tweeted it out at 1025 The Game on Twitter, so make sure you pay attention to that. Looking forward to the golf tournament today. Darren Donica Chase is going to be out there live. Stillman and Company going to be out there live as well. Now, Jared has somehow weaseled his way out of golfing today because he's got, I guess, you know, a job to do and to work from 2 to 6, but I would love to see him on the course. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well... Why can't the show's at 2? He can't play like 4 or 5 holes before the show.
I don't know. Telling you.
I think we have this and many things to ask Jared in person.
That's right. Chase is now staring through the glass, going to fire us both. So potentially the last edition of Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6. The DDC up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 106.3 The Game.